Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio. The Nerd Hour.
Tattoos and touchdowns.
The Sunny Show.
You're listening to the shoot.
Trust us, we're hot.
Masters of none.
360 on 420.
Welcome to the Cut Print Film Podcast.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
It's Daytime Divas with Marianne and Kitty.
OSW Review.
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Alcohol by volume.
This is Unsigned with J5.
It's time for Dutch and Royce.
No! Welcome to Rage Quit Radio.
Get ready for Hippo Juice.
Time for the Rage.
Mark El Radio.
The Elvis and Albert Show.
The Cousin Joe Show.
Radio Meltdown.
It's High Society Radio.
Brainstorm Radio.
It's all about me with Halls and Rorschach.
Shy kids.
Daddy Warpus.
Orange Room.
Warlock Radio!
Hey, listeners. Yes, that means you. Missed your favorite More Like Radio shows live? No problem. Just go to morelikeradio.com/downloads. That's morelikeradio.com/downloads. More Like Radio's RSS feed works with your iThings, Zooms, Androids, Windows Phone, and anything else that can subscribe to an RSS feed. If you're so awesome that you only get your podcasts from iTunes, you can subscribe to our feed in iTunes by clicking the Subscribe to iTunes link right on the Downloads page. So what are you waiting for? Download More Like Radio podcasts and subscribe to our feed now. Yes, right now. Do it.
Obviously, I was... Oh, never mind. I'm not going to explain it, but...
No, explain radio to Ashley.
Are you sitting comfortably? Then I'll begin. Would you mind taking Colin for a walk about 8?
Huh? Just 2,000 hours. Oh, yeah.
Now here's your host. That's Ashley, and this is...
Antisocial Gamer Radio.
Good evening, everyone. Hopefully you're all okay wherever it is you're listening to this. Hopefully I sound okay. I got myself a new mic over the weekend, and I should be sounding much better than the past couple of shows where I've been sounding good, but kind of shitty because of the feedback. But yeah, welcome to Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelikeradio.com, the greatest website that I keep stumbling over when I say it. No, greatest website in the world, greatest internet radio station in the world. We're the best people. Don't listen to anyone else. Just listen to us. So welcome to the show, people. Bits and pieces to talk about. Game stuff I've been playing. Some stuff I haven't been playing. Some stuff I want to be playing. A whole bunch of stuff. But first, as you all know, we next Saturday, not this one coming, the one after, it is the second annual More Like Radio live event. Now, this is a tribute to Otto Peterson, who died, sadly, this year. Great comedian, very fucking funny. And we're basically, it's a tribute for him. And basically, it's August 9th, which is not this Saturday, next one, at Just Jake's, which is 30 Park Street, Montclair, New Jersey. I'm flying out next Thursday. Literally, I'm just looking as I'm talking to you now. I'm looking at my suitcase, which is sort of pretty much fully packed, and my old travel bag, which is pretty much fully packed as well. I'm literally just I'm climbing the fucking walls trying to get out of this fucking country so I can come to America and just basically hang out with my mates. And I'm basically just sort of counting the seconds, literally. That's how much of anticipation. I mean, you ask any of the show hosts, and I've been annoying the fuck out of them for the past 2-3 months since I said I was coming. But yeah, I say, literally, all of you, it's free to win. It's free to get to this place, you know, free to come to this place, but we ask for donations. So bring yourself down and some fucking money. Donate to Otto's family, because none of it's going to us, none of it's going to me. It's all going to, you know, to Otto's family. And basically, we need to get as much money as we can. So if you don't, if you can't come, basically, if you know, if you're listening on the other side of the planet or the country or whatever, you know, basically go to tinyurl.com/Otto donation and make your donations there. Don't forget also, we're going to be auctioning off the merch mug, which is facebook.com/merch mug. I have no idea where it is in the country. Well, in America at the moment, because it wasn't sent to me because that'd be too fucking tricky. But that will be at the event, no doubt. You know, get yourself down. I mean, it's going to be a really good afternoon. It starts from 1 o'clock, finishes at 4, possibly till 5, depends how long we go. Great comics. We've got Mike Falcone, you know, Joe Conti, Kenny Michaels, Dave Satsik, Dandy Marino. We're going to do some sort of raffles, auctions, and we've got the cover band, BPM, performing. Hammy says they're really good. I trust Hammy on everything he says, basically, so they are good. But yeah, so it's all free, but we do ask that you bring some money to donate, because literally we need as many donations as possible to try and, you know, give Otto's missus and that a family, giving his family, you know, an easy life now that, you know, Otto's not gone, you know what I'm trying to say. But I say also, I say if you've listened to the recent Talk Radio Meltdown, which I know you have because I listen as well, and you should listen if you're not listening, go and listen to them, really good show. They are asking for donations to go to the Rock and Shock 2014. I've donated some money because, as usual, whenever they need money, my name gets mentioned and I'm like, okay, how much do you want? And I put my hand in my pocket and I give them some money. I've given them some money. Basically, if you want to, what you do to donate, you go to talkradiomeltdown.com/donation. You go on their Facebook page. It's all on the Facebook page. It's on their the website. Send them some cash. They're trying to raise about, I think it's £500. If you've got any money left after, you know, donating to Otto, send some money their way so that way they can do whatever it is they want to do, like tables and set up a booth, and, you know, that sort of convention sort of stuff, whatever, just, you know. But, you know, they've been going every year, and literally listen to last week's show. If you haven't listened to it, make sure you listen to it and listen to it every week. And basically, they'll explain it all. But, yeah, I've donated, so, you know, you can send them some money as well. But, yeah, I think that pretty much covers the usual stuff that I talk about, apart from the old how you can interact with me. As usual, you email us. It's antisocialgamerradio@yahoo.co.uk. The Facebook group for the show is facebook.com/groups/MLRGamerLobby. If you want to like our Facebook page, that'd be more than appreciated. facebook.com/antisocialgamerradio. And also, you can follow us on Twitter. And I do a follow back thing. You know, you follow me, I'll follow you. At MLRGamerRadio. That's, you know, send us on Twitter. But also, we do ask as well, you know, I'm asking a lot from you lot this week. But, you know, you can do more for us. You know, I'm doing this. You know, I'm not charging for any of this. I'm talking purely myself. You know, no one paid for my microphone apart from me. But yeah, go on iTunes. You know, search for More Like Radio. Yeah, you should have it in your subscribe thing because you listen to me now. Go on there. Leave us a 5-star review. You know, and, you know, reviewers, you know, tell us what you think. If you've left us a review, you know, tweet to me, email me. You know, send me a message on Facebook. So, yeah, I got a few reviews. I'll have a read of it. I'll read it out on the air. You know, that way, you know, you get some plug and attention and, you know, as you deserve, all these good listeners that we have. But yeah, I'd say, basically, yeah, go on there, leave us a review, get in touch. But yeah, Royce is in the chat. Hi, Royce. But yeah, I say this week I haven't played too much because basically I have fuck all to play. But I have been playing the Destiny beta, which I'm having withdrawal symptoms because it ended the other day. It's Tuesday now, and basically it ended on Sunday. I had so much fun with that fucking game. I bought myself a headset. I'm holding it here. Hang on. I don't know if I can pick that by the mic. I bought myself a headset. So basically, when I am playing with other people, when it does come out, you know, I will be able to talk to people. But so I bought myself, and I was a bit, just try to stick the bloody microphone in my mouth. That's a story for you. No, I mean, I was a bit skeptical about this, what I bought for my headset. I got What did I get? Hang on. I'm holding the fucking box. It's a Kaiken. It's a Triton. Kaiken. I think it was like 15 quid down the old Argos. Looked pretty good. I haven't had the chance to use it because there was no one to talk to on Destiny. I didn't know if you could do the old voice chat stuff. I don't know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, it's fun. Looks nice. So eventually I'll give it a go when I do play games. I mean, especially with Assassin's Creed coming out, you know, you a lot of playing that. There's no multiplayer. It's literally just co-op. I mean, a whole bunch of you. Just saying what the fuck my gamer tag is now. Gamer tag. My PlayStation Network ID, it's Ashley MLR. It's AshleighMLR. Yeah, add me and we'll play Destiny and whatever the hell shit that I'm playing. We'll all play together. It'll be fun. But yeah, it's a Destiny. So much stuff to talk about this. I'll get into this stuff now because you know my brain works fucking ADD like I've got. There's an extra D in that. I started doing some of the Crucible stuff. It's weird. It's good. I had tons of fun. I mean, I had two matches because I'm like, well, this is only a beta. It doesn't really matter. With the kill death stuff, I did okay. I mean, I lost a load of matches and I won a load of matches. Sorry, what the fuck am I talking about? So I'm going nuts. My brain's overcharged. No, I mean, my kill to death ratio was pretty much half each. I won half of them and I lost. No, what the fuck is wrong with me? I'm losing my damn mind. I killed as many people but died twice as much. There we go. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah, but it was basically headquarters. Any of you, you know, Call of Duty fans, and I think it's Rush is what Battlefield has. It was basically you go to an area, you take it over, you move on to the next one. And I had tons of fun. I was getting loads and loads of points. And it was pissing me off. The first game I was in, the whole first match I lost, even though I had like about, I think it was like 1,500 points. I was like, I was getting loads of kills and I was, you know, it was doing really well. It was tons and tons and tons of fun. The second match I lost, I won that one. Not me personally, but the team I was on, because it's all team-based. Yeah, I'm more focused on the actual game itself, like the main story, than actually the multiplayer stuff. I mean, multiplayer would be fun to have mess around with, but it's like, I mean, it's good because, I mean, it's actually, I mean, when the full game comes out, right, I probably will be more into it and more, you know, focused on it. And I'm hoping it will sort of bring back some of the... I mean, because I'm starting to get a vibe of regular listeners know I talk about, you know, the Call of Duty 3 multiplayer, how much fun and, you know, I had with that and how, you know, how great that was back in the day. I'm sort of hoping to get that feel from the multiplayer for Destiny, the Crucible stuff, because it's like, yeah, there's vehicles. I mean, my second match... I was getting shot the fuck up. I really was. So I just jumped in his tank and started following people around the map. And my aim was shit. So basically, I just ran the fuckers over. And I got so many points. I got points. I got points for running them down. I got points for going fast. So I got a whole bunch of like three little stacks of lit writing came up saying about how many points I'd got. I was having more fun in the vehicles than actually being on foot. I mean, I was doing okay, but it was like the whole second match, I was just sort of wandering around the map. I mean, I think it'd been like 2 or 3 minutes. I was like wandering around and I couldn't see anybody. No one was there. I was like, okay, where the fuck is everyone? I mean, I'd taken over one area with a couple of other people and I'm like, okay, what the fuck is going on? There's no bastard here for me to shoot. But then I sort of wandered around and eventually got, you know, shot up a whole bunch of times, like 5 or 6 times. And then I eventually killed someone and I got a bonus for, cooldown, or I can't remember what the fuck it was, some bonus, and it was good and maybe a bit better, and I'm like, I need to get into a vehicle. So I found one, jumped in his tank, started running people over. The map they give you was for Mars, I think it was, because I don't think it was the moon, because there was a special mission that we got on Saturday night to go on the moon, which I'll talk about in a second. I was having tons of fun with it. It's great. I mean, I wasn't... I sort of, you know, I take stuff too seriously and I have anger issues, and I will, you know, throw controllers and break TVs and break consoles, which I have done many a time in the past. Only the one TV because they're so fucking expensive. But yeah, I mean, I had tons of fun. I was like, I wasn't really worried about the kill death ratio because there is, it doesn't say how many times you kill. Well, no, it says how many times you killed, how many assists you got, and then it goes your kill death ratio. So you don't know how many times you died, but it's like, well, I think got 0.64, I think was my kill to death in my first match. I didn't bother looking in my second one. But yeah, it's just tons of fun. It's literally other people geared up like yourself because literally you take your character from the main game into the Crucible stuff, and it's basically, yep, you've got this gun from you found from here, and then you can get rewards and other stuff. You get items and for having Crucible marks and flags and a whole bunch of collectible stuff. Literally, people, when this game comes out, pick it up, because I'm telling you, pick it up, play it, have tons of fun with it, because it's going to be amazing. It really is. Everyone's going to be fucking playing this game. This is going to be, this is probably going to be the game of the year. Not for, just for me, but for fucking everyone. But yeah, I say Crucible stuff, a lot of fun. I had so much fun. I'm pissed off now because literally, whenever I turn my PlayStation on now, I literally, the first thing I'll see is pop up because literally I've got nothing else to play until, I don't know. I mean, The Last of Us comes out, is out now in the States, the remastered edition, and it comes out here Friday, but I'm like working for 4 days, so I'm like, I might wait till I come back from the States and pick it up that way when it might be a bit cheaper. But then I've got Metro Last Light to come out the week after I come back, so I've got that. And then we got September with Destiny, and then you got Assassin's Creed, Call of Duty, and half a ton of other stuff that I really want to play. But it's all going to be tricky. But yeah, let's talk about this moon mission, because I didn't get to do too much, because my internet has been a bit of a bastard recently. I mean, over the weekend, it was annoying. I'm sitting here trying to watch fucking A-Team, and it just kept cutting out on me. And Saturday, message came round to everyone who's playing the Destiny beta, because literally, people who didn't know that basically the beta was open to everyone, I'm not checking my Facebook page. I put it up there. I said, yeah, the beta is open to everyone. Basically, jump on it. They want to test out the servers. Just jump on there, play it, have fun with it. It didn't matter what system is on, system you were on, as long as it wasn't Nintendo brand, you were fine. And play it. But we got to do this moon mission, which was actually really fun. I mean, I didn't get to play too much because literally my internet kept cutting out. And I'm like, we only got access to this mission for like 2 hours. But there was something in you got like some sort of tag. I mean, I've missed out on this completely. But there was some sort of tag that you got, which you could carry over to the main game. But I mean, I haven't deleted any of this my data that I've got from the beta and the alpha until the main stuff comes out, because just in case any of this stuff does carry over, I would like it to. But I mean, yeah, it was tons of fun. I mean, it was a great, because it was literally, it was a different environment, because the fact that for 2 weeks, the 2.5 weeks that I've been playing the alpha and the beta, I've been staring at bloody a Russian wasteland, or Russia, for, you know, and I was like, wow, we were on the moon, and it felt totally different. It felt great. It was like a whole new environment. I mean, it was actually, when I was there, like when I sort of dropped off into this mission, I was like, okay, look around. Where the hell's the Earth? So I looked up, and I think I took a screenshot, because I am having so much fun with the screenshots in this. I'll have to upload to the Facebook page, because I do a few memes that are not that funny, but you can have a little giggle at them. I had so much fun trying to sort of do screenshots of people standing. I mean, I got one guy, he was at some sort of panel on the computer, on the wall, and it looked like an ATM machine. So basically, I sort of went up, did a screenshot, and I said, yeah, stuck behind some slow coach at an ATM machine. And I did, you know, one, there was this in the tower, this was all in the tower, by the way. In the tower, there's a sort of where you go talk to the witness, I think that's what the character's name is, or the watcher, the witness, something like that. Begins with a W. And there's a great big sort of turny device thing, and I was just sort of made a Harry Potter reference because he looks like the Time Turner. But yeah, I'm having some fun just making little, you know, shitty gags out of what's been happening with screenshots and stuff, and it is actually really, really fun. But yeah, the moon. Yeah, I didn't get to do too much. I got into a bit of it. Excuse me, sorry, once I need to have a drink. My mouth is dry from speed talking for the past 20 minutes. Oh, one more. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's better. Yeah, so basically, I got to the moon, and basically I had to go to this place to find out this information, and it's pretty much go here, go there, go there. And basically where I got to and stopped, because my internet was cutting out on me like a bastard, I had like several waves of enemies trying to kill me. They killed me like several times, but because of the respawning stuff, it was like, yeah, doesn't matter. I'm respawning, whatever, and I just killed the rest of them. But yeah, tons of fun. I really like being on the moon. I mean, it felt not like we were there, but it's because I had been playing in Russia for the past 2.5 weeks. It was nice to be somewhere different, doing pretty much the same stuff, killing people as usual. But it was nice to sort of, just experience something different and looking around while standing on the surface of the moon, just sort of looking up at Earth. And it's like the sort of distance, I'm sort of getting the depth from the game. It's like, well, I'm here on the moon looking back at the Earth, and then I could be in Russia, on the tower, looking around and looking up at the moon. It's like the whole distance thing, But yeah, I mean, the moon mission was probably fun. I mean, I don't really know. I didn't finish it. I mean, I suppose it was like quite short. It's only it depends how long it took to do it. I mean, I did max out my character to level 8, which was great because I did some more of the Dragon's Lair mission, which, I did it. I mean, I not did more. I did it again, like several times, because I was trying to get some money for the new sparrows and some new ships. But I was such a dumbass. I completely... because when I first played the alpha, there was like several little missions that you could do and the Devil's Lair mission. But I completely forgot about doing the free roaming stuff where you could basically just go to the area and do these little markers that would, pop up little beacons, and you'd go to them and say, okay, I need to get to this place, do a scan on this, collect this item, like several of these items from killing people. And I completely forgot about that until literally Sunday. So I'm like, okay, I did like one or two missions and got like 200, 300, I can't remember what the currency in the game is. Glimmer. 200 Glimmer. And I'm like, okay, this is great. But the fact is, I needed like, was it 9,000? I think it was like 9,000 to get a better ship. And I'm like, okay, this isn't really going to work, to be honest, because I haven't got enough time, considering I just found out about this now. And I was sort of slightly stumped when it comes to that. But that's what I'm sort of looking forward to the main game when it does come out. As I really want, to sort of, just do these missions over and over again to get enough money, to get the better ships, to see. I mean, I just want to see if they do anything. Probably not. I mean, the sparrows that I did see that were for sale were like, they had better speed, which are great, I guess. I want the sparrows to fire the guns. I mean, that's what I liked when I was doing the Crucible stuff about the tank. And there's another bike there. I can't remember what the hell it's called. But yeah, you press one button to speed up, and the other button it fires. It shoots stuff. And I'm like, oh, this is great. Why can't I fucking do it on the Sparrow? That'd be so much easier. I mean, the Sparrow is great. It's like a speeder, like the speeder bikes from Return of the Jedi, but without the guns. But yeah, I'd sort of love to summon the Sparrow like you do with Tron. With the old light bikes, and then fucking just sort of, as it just forms itself, quickly tap on the old boost and rock it off into the distance. But yeah, I mean, Destiny, I mean, so much fun. I had so much fun with it, but I mean, it's weird. It's like, it's like a month away, to be honest. I mean, I know it's literally, 1st of August is on Friday. I'm away next week, and then I come back, and time a couple of weeks after I come back, it's like it's out, so it's literally going to come around pretty quick. But yeah, I mean, I did more bits and pieces with it. I was Devil's. I mean, I was writing down stats, not stats, but weapons that, because I was doing one of the Devil's Lair missions, and I was playing with some guy who had some really good weapons. I mean, all his gear was like the same stuff. And it was high-end stuff that he'd sort of replayed over and over again to get the better stuff. And his guns were pretty good as well, because he was fired some sort of... When we were taking out the... was it the Devil's Walker? I can't remember the fuck, I don't know what the hell it's called. But it was basically that armored tank thing with the legs. And he was sort of firing bullets aft into it, and it was sort of like lighting up the whole thing, like doing sort of like AOE damage, I think that's the term. But yeah, and I was like, okay, what weapons has he got? I was just looking that up. And yeah, I found myself with this machine gun, which went in sort of the same spot as the rocket launcher. Oh, it was amazing. I was literally just shredding enemies up. It was great. But yeah, I say, I wish I had more time and realised about the whole main mission stuff, the optional stuff to earn some money, and then I could have bought the items and bikes and stuff. And you know, I mean, it just having the fastest Sparrow doesn't really matter, because whenever I was riding around on the Sparrow and there was enemies, I'd stop and shoot them and see if they had any items or the encryption stuff that I could get, you know, encrypted. Get de-encrypted, and then if it was a decent item, keep it, and then if not, just sell it. But yeah, Destiny, it is going to be the game to play. It really is. I mean, if you're a big Mass Effect fan, I recommend, because it is a role play game. It is, you know, your RPG. There are, you know, it's customizable items, it's your character is customizable. You can put, you know, different armors, headpieces, gauntlets, like chest pieces, legs, that's fully changeable, because you know you get better and better items with better stats. Guns are amazing. I mean, some of them are good and some of them are quite shit. Depends on how you like your fire rate. I mean, there's semi-autos and guns. It's, you know, crazy for the guns. But yeah, that was tons of fun. But I can't wait. I really can't. It's one of those ones. I'm sort of sitting here wondering, just sort of staring at space. I was like, yeah, I could be playing Destiny right now, but it isn't out yet. But yeah, so if you're a big sort of RPG fan and you're a big Mass Effect fan, Destiny is the game to play. It really is, people. Because, you know, it's, I mean, fuck knows when we're getting, I mean, I've got an article on this during the news segment about the next Mass Effect, and it's, fuck knows, years off. So basically, you need to get yourself into Destiny and play the fuck out of it, and add me if you're playing on PlayStation 4, that is. It's actually MLR, you know. And we'll play together. Yeah, that'd be nice, to be honest. It'd be nice to play with some of the listeners. But yeah, it's going to be a really good game. I'm sort of coming down now from the big sort of rush of talking about how good this game is. But yeah, if you didn't play it, and you've heard how ecstatic I am about it, then you need to pick it up. You pre-order it, because I think we're getting some sort of Vanguard weapons for pre-ordering. I think, I pre-ordered and got access to the beta. Hopefully that I've got access to the Vanguard weapons as well. I mean, not too fast, because, you know, whatever the Vanguard weapons will be when we get them, no doubt, towards the end of the game, we're going to find something much better, hopefully. But I mean, I'm hoping that the level cap for the whole game isn't 20. I'm hoping it's higher, because I mean, I got to level 8 pretty quick. I mean, yes, I know it's, you know, there's still like, you know, 12 levels ahead of that, but I mean, depending on when we get Destiny 2 or if it's going to be an expansion pack based thing, I don't know. See, I mean, I know bits and pieces, but I don't know too much. But whenever this, you know, we get information about the next expansion or level cap raise or stuff like that, I mean, I know what my character is going to be, an XO. He's going to be, you know, male, obviously, and a Titan, because Titans are great. Hunters are nice, but I mean, I still got me sniper rifle, and you know, I mean, the Warlock I probably won't try, but you know, that's the thing, because there's only so far you can get in this when you level up. You know, you get your maxed out level, you maxed out guns. Because, There's a vault where you can store your weapons. It's like with Borderlands. You store your weapons and you can pass them between either your characters. But, you know, as the guns are level locked, you can only use a level 10 gun if you're level 10, basically. But, yeah, Destiny, it's the game to get. But yeah, I'm going to transition into this topic for this week. I've no idea what I'm going to talk about next week. So basically, you know, I've given you the contact details. Let me know something you want to talk about and I'll talk about it. But this week, we'll talk about female protagonists in gaming. Now, because I mean, I talked about this at the end of last week's show. And I was thinking about this. I've been thinking about, you know, long and hard, really. The longer I thought, the harder it got. But yeah, I mean, there is not enough female characters playable characters, you know, playable characters, like main focus characters in gaming. I mean, you've got like, I mean, where's my list here? You've got, I mean, games, you know, you've got like Tomb Raider, you know, it's a classic. Mirror's Edge, Portal. I mean, Portal though, right? Portal, you wouldn't know the character was female unless there was like, until you found out there's a shiny surface, because literally all you see is a portal gun. I mean, she doesn't speak or anything. But, you know, I mean, Alien Isolation, Beyond Good and Evil, it's very few. I mean, Bayonetta, there are very few games out there where you can play as a woman. I mean, yes, you. As I think I said last week, you have your own, you customizable characters in your role-play games. Destiny, you can be a female character. Mass Effect, Dragon, you know, BioWare stuff. But, yeah, it's like there isn't enough. I mean, let me just click up these articles I found. But yeah, I mean, it's not. It didn't piss me off exactly, but I am feeling the fact that I mean, I want there to be more, but it's up to the developers. They're, you know, kind of lazy. But here we are. I've got some GameSpot. Yeah, here we go. Oh, just click too far as usual. Yeah, EA Studio Boss, this is from like June of this year, pretty much about a month ago. Yeah, EA Boss Patrick Soderlund said, "My thesis is that it's a male-dominated business. Boys tend to design... boys tend to design for boys and women for women, which it's kind of sexist and kind of bullshit, considering, you know. More often than not, the video game heroes are men. But why is that? An Associated Press story today features quotes from numerous industry executives speaking to why that might be the case. For EA Studios executive, Patrick Soderlund, where I spoke, he has something to do with the fact that video games are often designed with men in creative lead roles. My thesis is that a male-dominated business, Sutherland told the AP from E3 last week. I'm not sure that flies, but I think overall it may have something to do with that boys tend to design for boys and women for women. I'm just happy that we have a game with a female heroine. He says Sutherland is like referring to the upcoming Mirror's Edge game for Xbox One, PlayStation 4, PC, blah, 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 which features a woman, Faith, in the lead role. I played a demo for... Mirror's Edge, but the first one, but I didn't bother with the second one. Yeah. But yeah, here we go. Yeah, leading development on the game at DICE's senior president, Sarah Jansen. It is unclear what percentage of the video game development workforce is female. The latest ESA data shows that 48% of all US gamers are female, which is what I read last week. Which is true. I mean, there's a load of gamers on the station. I mean, Marie plays computer games. Dee plays computer games. I think Dee from The Sully Show, she plays computer games. Marianne plays games occasionally. Kitty does as well. You know, there's so many women out there who play computer games. And it does feel that, you know, they are not getting the games they deserve. Which I'll go into in a sec. I've been thinking about this whole week, this whole topic, because it's very important to me. Mainly because I'm a bloke with a girl's name, but it is something that needs to be addressed. And for the year and a bit I've been doing this show, I haven't addressed it because it hasn't really come up as a main something that's been announced, whereas these recent articles have. So basically it's something I talk about. The lack of leading ladies in video games is not a new point of debate, but it comes to the fore of late, following Ubisoft's controversial decision not to include include playable female assassins in Assassin's Creed Unity or Far Cry 4. The company says technical limitations kept a female hero from appearing in Assassin's Creed Unity, a point that not everyone agrees with. Well, exactly, but to be honest though, it's not... there has to be some sort of ulterior motive to this, because, right, anyone who's played the Assassin's Creed games since Brotherhood with a multiplayer... there have been female characters in this, female assassins. I don't see how you can't make a female assassin as... I mean, trust, they had the PSP and the PS Vita versions of Assassin's Creed with the female lead. I don't get it. It just, trust, they're just bullshitting. They might as well just say it didn't quite fit the story that we're trying to tell. And we'd be like, okay. But trust, we got a new trailer today, which I've seen. I think it's pretty much the same as every other trailer, but there's like there's a woman in it now. Okay, it's like, okay, right, so she's important somehow, you know. But, well, oh, yeah. But it is something that irks me about the whole, you know, women play computer games. You should make more games with them in it. But here we are, I'll carry on reading this article. According to Activision's publishing CEO, Eric Hirschberg, any character you create requires extra resources, gender aside. Well, yeah. Okay, I'll before I make my do my talky-talky. It says any character that has a different look, voice, mechanics, or way of moving requires more work. But that's not a reason not to do something. We create lots of different characters with lots of different movements. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm going to bring... It's not exactly super related, but do you remember a while ago I talked about when we got the new... Splinter Cell game, and the fact that Sir Michael Ironside, isn't voicing Sam Fisher, and it's like because of the cost and stuff, and you know his voice, the guy that got moved to do the movement stuff, and the way it was designed, and you know it's sort of bullshit to be honest, because you know he could have done the fucking motion capture possibly at his age, but yeah, I mean. There shouldn't be any excuse not to have a female character. I mean, just we could do a new new Splinter Cell with maybe Sam's daughter. Because to be honest, I mean, I didn't buy it because it's not Michael Ironside. So it's just he is. It's like the new Metal Gear Solid. I'm gonna buy it, but grudgingly because it's Kiefer. I'm a short bastard. Sullivan, Kiefer Sullivan is in it, and it's like, well, to be honest. Snake, Big Boss, Liquid Snake, Naked Snake, Solid Snake. It's David Hayter. He's the voice. That stuff is important to me, but playing as a woman, if it's whatever, it doesn't really matter. As long as, because it's a new character. But, you know, maybe we'd be nice with Splinter Cell having Sam's daughter in it. Get, I don't know, I'm just trying to think a bunch of female voice actors that I know. You know, you could get anyone to do a voice. You know, it doesn't really matter. But yeah, here we go. Yeah, Hirschberg pointed out that this year's Call of Duty Advanced Warfare will not only see female playable characters return from their first appearance in last year's Call of Duty Ghosts, but also that the game's story mode will feature a vital female character. Another high-profile upcoming game prominently featuring a female character is Ready at Dawn's PlayStation 4 title, The Order 1886. Which I'm really looking forward to. I've seen that trailer, but that's all I've seen. I'm waiting for some more stuff on this. Yeah, creative director Rue. Oh, who is shit? Wirasuri. I can't, it's a Japanese name. Says female video game characters are often misrepresented, something he wanted to steer clear of when crafting the games. Oh, here we are. The female character for this. Developers have a tendency to paint female characters in very specific, stereotypical lights, he said. We wanted someone who was grounded in reality, but in actuality is sometimes a better knight than others. There's no reason why that shouldn't be the case in games. That's the case in the real world. But yeah, I mean, what that guy's saying now is basically, you know, he was basically just pointing a great big finger at... at Tomb Raider, because I mean I have no problem playing Tomb Raider. I bought the fucking game twice. You know, I bought it for my Xbox 360, and I bought the remastered edition for my for my PlayStation 4. But yeah, I mean having someone in the game because of their gen, you know, is not a problem. I mean, there should be more. I mean, I have no problem. I mean, there's a whole bunch of notes and stuff I've written down here. Just adjust the mic there, so I can knock in the bloody thing. I'm sort of waving my arms about excitedly. But yeah, it is true, but there is a sort of stereotypical brush taken when it comes to creating women characters. I mean, you look at Tomb Raider. I mean, you go from how Lara Croft looks in the new one, the one that we just got recently. But then you compare her to how she looks in the new one, which is supposed to be getting, I think, next year or the year after. They've made her look prettier when there was no need, because she's not she's not a catwalk model. It's the character. I mean, everyone, you know, back in the day, oh, well, it's Lara Croft. She's got big boobs. And it's like, there's more. I mean, trust, it makes the male gamers all look like 12-year-old boys. Because, I mean, you know, I'm a fucking full-grown man. Boobs are nice, but it's like, yeah, I'm more interested in the character of, you know, Lara Croft, which is why I bought the game again, because I wanted to experience what went on with the game. It's like, yeah, what she felt, because her friends were captured, she had to find them, she was killing people left and right, and I'm playing this, I'm like, well, it doesn't matter that she's got giant boobs or she's this pretty, because it's not a focal point on the story that's being told. With the Lara Croft we got with the recent one, it's like, yeah, she wasn't, her boobs weren't giant or, you know, fucking, you know, it didn't matter because it wasn't, you know, as I said, it wasn't what was being told. But now they've made her look prettier. It's like with Faith from Mirror's Edge. She looks totally different. You know, everyone stop the show. Once I finish speaking, this is. But yeah, go and look up how Faith looked in the original Mirror's Edge to how she looks now in Mirror's Edge 2, because they've changed her face completely to sort of pretty her up to get, because basically Mirror's Edge didn't sell that well. But to be honest, it wasn't because of how the game was. It was just because no one really bought it. Because it was tricky. It's a first person running game. It's hard to explain all this sort of stuff. But go and have a look, and you'll see what I mean. But because, you know, they think that having a prettier game character will drive up the sales of whatever it is we're playing. But as long as you make a good story, I don't see what's wrong, you know, with having a female. There's a lot of decent movies out there with female characters who are the main focus of it. I mean, I think Lucy came out over the weekend in the States. I don't think it's out over here yet. But a lot of people I've talked to have seen it, and they say it's a really good movie. I mean, I'm not the biggest fan of Scarlett Johansson, because literally I just see her as a pretty face. I don't see her as an actress, because I've seen her act. I've seen several of her films. I mean, I saw The Horse Whisperer before she was, you know, super well known. You know, she's like, I don't know, 16 then or something. But, you know, her acting isn't the best in the world, but all she's known for is being a pretty face. And basically, you know, that's what gets her roles. But there are other women in the, you know, who can act, like, you know, Charlize Theron plays good characters, and, you know, she's in Eleanor Flux, which I've been told is a good movie. I haven't seen it. But yeah, I mean, I think about, was it Radha Mitchell, who was in Pitch Black? She was the sort of the pilot for the ship. You know, anyone seen Pitch Black? You'll know what I'm talking about. If you haven't seen Pitch Black, go and see Pitch Black. It's a great movie. It's like, yeah, we need these, we need these characters that you put on the screen in our games, because, I mean, I look at stuff now, we have Aliens Isolation coming out, which is going to be a great game. And basically, it's a very... I like it for what we're getting, but I do feel it's not too little too late, but it's another attempt at making an Alien game, but not having... what is it? Not having... what the fuck was it? Not having Ellen Ripley in it. You know, it's just... you know, we're getting her daughter, which is okay. We're getting Amanda, which is fine. I don't have a problem with that. But it's like, yeah, just make the Alien game or something. But because then it would basically lead to a movie tie-in, and because movie tie-ins aren't that good, apart from The Wolverine, that was pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, there are so many female leads in movies that do great movies that sort of, you know, action-y, that could be, you know, computer game, you know, thing. I mean, here we go. And as I say, Radha Mitchell from, you know, Pitch Black, she was in the Silent Hill movie, which it's a good movie. The first and second one, both good movies. You go how that, you know, the first and second Silent Hill games, I think pretty much most of them, I mean, the ones that matter anyway, male character as your lead. They made a movie, switched it, female character's the lead. And basically, Radha Mitchell played the Harry character. I mean, I only played the demo for Silent Hill, and it scared the shit out of me, so I never bothered. But, you know, we that's it. It's like they switched it and made it a female lead, and she was a great character. You can do this with games. You can take the female characters that you see on screen. I mean, the developers should be watching. They should be watching the games. They should be watching the movies and like, wow, we should make a game character like this. I don't mind. I'm not overly fussed about there actually is more male focused on games these days. But it would be nice to have a sort of level playing field. I mean, I have no problem. As I said several times during the show, I have no problem playing as a man or a woman. As long as the story's good, that's all I care about. But I mean, I just look at other stuff here. It's like, I'm just looking through my notes here. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, if we created new female characters in our games, it would be iconic, because you think, you know, the well-known names we have now is pretty much Lara Croft in Tomb Raider. And that's pretty much it. But if you made these, the women into games, it would be great. It would open up new doorways. If a couple of people jumped on board and started making games with women characters, it would be great. And you think about, I was just saying what I've written down here. It was like, it would maybe help out young women out there, you know, sort of teenagers. It's a convoluted idea of what I'm trying to get across, because I'm sort of trying to speed talk it, so I basically get all the information out before I forget. But I mean, you know, we have with Barbie these days, and you got, you know, fucking, it's a different, out, you know, women don't know what I'm talking about. I had an action man, but same sort of thing. No genitals. But yeah, I mean, Barbie had different outfits. You know, she had a ski suit. She had like scuba diving. You could do that with women as characters in games. It's like, yeah, you have Lara Croft. She's an explorer. You know, Tomb Raider. That's great. Where's our female soldier? Where's our, some stuff I don't think we're going to get female games, like separate games, like, you know, your sports games. You might, maybe. They'll probably charge us an add-on, you know, EA, FIFA, you know, 2015 with, now with Women's League, or the next NBA 2K, 2K, NBA 2K. 2015, where it's got like a woman in it, the WNBA. Sports games are probably not going to do it, but there's nothing stopping you from making a decent action game or some sort of game with a lot of drama in it that has a main character as a woman. It's all down to fucking lazy developers. Because to be honest, half this stuff, when you're playing the game, you're actually just worried about the character on screen. It's not really worried about... I mean, as I was about to say, it's like... I can go back to the Far Cry... Fallout and the Elder Scrolls stuff. It's like, when you're creating what your character looks like, it doesn't really matter because, I mean, until recently, that is, you were basically a first-person perspective, because you weren't seeing the character you were playing. It didn't matter how well you made your character look... man, woman, whatever, orc, because you never got to see the face, but until recently, you know, with Skyrim. But you know, stuff like that, it doesn't matter, because if you're too focused on what you're doing on screen, say you're not worried. I mean, half the times, that's what I say when I try and pick out previous weeks I've done it, and what's the best games, what's your worst games, what's the stuff that's overrated. So I've never really focused on what the actual character was. I was just trying to think about what the game was. I do worry that, you know, women do feel left out because there's not enough female games to play. But as I said, in the US, as I read earlier, 48% of people who play games are women. I mean, with guys, there is a stereotypical thing that we will pick a game that you can be a woman in or whatever, because you're going to change how she looks, like Mass Effect, that sort of stuff. But you've got women out there who will go and pick up a game. Say that, let's say Uncharted. Nathan Drake, good looking guy. Women out there. Yeah, wow, this guy. Look at this. You know. Look how good this guy looks, or, you know, stuff like that. You know, that sort of running through our head, a bloke's head. as it would a woman's head as well. It's like, you know, the thoughts about how your character looks. It's not, it's kind of stereotypical. You know, I mean, we all care about, when it comes to seeing somebody, it, you know, looks are important, but, you know, depending on each person, how much they are important. But yeah, just because we get obsessed over a woman as a bloke, you know, as a man saying this, doesn't mean that there's not women out there who don't get, not obsessive rather, but are interested in playing a playing a game because the character is good looking. You take, you know, Nathan Drake, you know, probably the Assassin's Creed games, that, you know, the fairly, I mean, just on the box art anyway. But yeah, men and women go through the same, you know, same ideas when it comes to picking out games. We'll pick out games because of how the character looks, but it's not really the focus of what I'm trying to get at. It sort of dulls the point a little bit, but I do want to see more women-based games. I mean, I mean, this is sort of just me as I am. I have no real interest in playing as a woman in a sort of customizable game. I will play as a man because I basically like to put myself into the game. Say it's like what people said about Halo. It's like, yeah, like Half-Life. It's like, yeah, we want you to be Gordon Freeman. It's like, or, you know, we want you to be Master Chief. And then, you know, it doesn't really matter because it's us having the experience. That's what they're after, not we're helping Lara Croft have an experience. We're not helping, we're helping Faith have an experience. We're helping whatever the hell that bird's name was on Beyond Good and Evil. We're helping her have an experience. Whereas, you know, your first person, it all depends as well. You know, your first person, your third person. That's all counted into the argument as well. It's like we're all here just sort of, you know, having the experience or helping, you know, as a first person game or helping whoever it is we're playing with have the experience. We're along for the ride, basically. What else have I got on this? I wrote a whole load of notes down. Should I get to all these stuff? But yeah, I mean, I would like to see if they did make more female characters in games. You know, it would inspire, inspire young women to have future career choices. It's like, yeah, okay, I want to be, you know, an archaeologist, an explorer, or something like this. Because, I mean, you don't, as I say, I mean, it is very much a man-dominated world that we are living in, unfortunately. That is the fact. But unless people step up, more women get out there, go for the better jobs, and actually you change the rules, it's not going to happen. And hopefully, you know, as I say, more women-based games inspire young women to do career choices that they've seen in the games. I mean, you know, fuck. I mean, I know this is a really bad example and a very poor choice. I know Mitch is going to punch me in the face when he sees me in a couple of weeks. But how many people do you know, or, you know, or if you are one yourself, who's like, you know, played Call of Duty, I'm like, I want to join the army, such and such. You know, how many people have inspired to do this sort of stuff, or, you know, become a race car driver because, I mean, race car driver, they had the Grand Theft Auto Academy. Grand Theft Auto Academy. Yeah. Oh, I'd love to go to the Grand Theft Auto Academy. I just smashed a prostitute's head in with some, with a baseball bat. She gave me money. Yeah, it was a great day at the academy. No, I mean, the Gran Turismo Academy, where they sent people who played the game to become like real race car drivers. But yeah, I mean, you know, people play these games and think, you know, great, I want to do this. I mean, probably not the best example because I'm not too sure, but it's one, you know, people who played like Rock Band and Guitar Hero, they, you know, actually picked up real instruments. I mean that episode of South Park pretty much disagrees with my whole argument. But yeah, I mean, it would be nice. Oh, hello, Mitch. Fucking hell, talk of the devil. I knew you would disagree with me. That's why I said you'd probably punch me in the face. Yeah, I'll get you a ladder because you're quite short anyway. But no, I mean, there's got to be. I mean, Mitch, you've got to be some people in the army that well, probably not. But yeah, it's a thought. It's a theory, you know. But yeah, I mean, it would be nice to have more sort of women characters in games that, you know, inspired the younger generation to pick up the jobs of the characters they've been playing as. I mean, I think Order 1886 doesn't really count because, I mean, I don't think there's any vampires around anymore. Basically, 5'10". Yeah, I'm 6'4". Makes it easier to cull you. But no, But yeah, I mean, yeah, that'd be awkward. I'll wear a thick shirt. But no, I mean, I do want more. I mean, I just sort of, maybe I should just, you know, whenever I do a custom character now these days, I mean, I need to do a second run through on my my Pokemon. Maybe I'll just play as the Serena next time instead of Callum, and well, making my own character. But you know, it just, I don't know. I just sort of wish there was more stuff to. I mean, because the age that we are living in these days, the age we live in, it's not, the world is changing. It's changing very fast. A lot of stuff's being left to die. Religion is dying out, whether people believe it or not. Racism is dying out, but people still have fucking grudges. Oh, that comes from that's on both sides of the coloured fence. But we can live in a better world where certain prejudices aren't there, but it's all up to us to make them change. And the fact that video games does help when it comes to the fact that stereotyping is that men play games and women stay in the kitchen, when it's not. It's there are women out there who play the games, you know, play the games just as well as men. You know, there's teams of like female gamers out there. I mean, you know, tables turn on the old stereotype men, women in the kitchen. I used to work in a fucking kitchen many years ago. You know, but you know, it would be nice if we got this change. And just, I mean, the whole final thought on this is the fact that, you know, I'm going to take a break in a second. The only people who can change this, I mean, are us, if we sort of, you know, bitch and shout a lot about this sort of stuff. And it's also down to the developers. Because, I mean, just, they're the ones who are making the games. And now, hopefully, this article will, you know, drive up some more information. It's like, there is no real need to stop people playing games. Because, I mean, that's what makes me wonder. I mean, because, you know, I'm a big Doctor Who fan. And they'll say, well, when are we going to get a female Doctor? It could happen. I mean, recent episodes, I think I can't remember what I was watching. I think it was probably with Matt Smith talking about the female sorry, just read what Mitch put in the chat. He said, yeah, you worked in a fucking kitchen. No way that would pass cleanliness standards. Well, it was like fucking 11 years ago, mate. I was like 16. But yeah, no, it was actually quite clean, to be honest. But no, I mean, I don't know. I'm just sort of, I say the only people who can do this are developers. I mean, say Assassin's Creed, I have no problem playing as a female assassin. I mean, it all basically comes down to the lineage. So I'm not even too sure what the hell's going on with Assassin's Creed at the moment, with the lineage of Desmond, because Desmond's dead, and I don't know. I mean, if we get Beyond Good and Evil 2, that's great. Another female character. Mirror's Edge 2, another female character. The new Tomb Raider. And pretty much every other Tomb Raider game we're getting, we get a female character for. But, I mean, yeah. I have no... I mean, there's so many different games that you can play. I mean, Mitch, right. I'll go back to the army stuff now. Were you fighting alongside, like, female soldiers? You know, because I'd like to know that, you know, I mean, there was, I think it was like a female soldier, like, you know, RAF and pilots and stuff like that. Yeah, there's people there, but like, are they still that age where it's like, you know, women should be safer on the battlefield because they've got babies to make or some bullshit stupid stuff like this? I mean, it's, I just, you know, I mean, there's so many different, you know, sort of game genres that we could have with, you know, female characters. I mean, you look at the sort of Broken Sword stuff or Monkey Island, sort of your puzzly detective stuff. It's like, yeah, why can't we have a female detective? You know, doesn't have to be just male, you know. But thing is, though, right, that's the downside. When the developers are creating these characters and, the female characters, they will do the whole stereotypical 12-year-old boy thing of basically making you know, the character sexy for a reason that doesn't need to be. You know, they'll give her giant tits or make her super pretty, give her, you know, put shit tons of makeup on her, and you know, which is not really needed because, you know, fuck. I mean, what the fuck do I know about women? But yeah, I mean, you get what I'm trying to say. But yeah, I mean, it would be nice if there were more games with women involved, a different perspective on stuff, because the games we have now are getting very stale. Yeah, I'm just sort of trying to think. I mean, there's other games out there, you know, say first person stuff. It doesn't really matter that you're a man or a woman. I mean, it only really counts when you're talking about basically what the fuck is it? You know, third person games where you can actually see your character moving around, whereas the first person stuff doesn't really matter because you're just there, you know, on screen, just firing a gun or doing whatever they're, you know, firing your portal gun or whatever it is. But when it comes to drama, interaction, you know, we want that. There should be more of that from the female perspective, which, you know, I think I've literally sort of talked myself to death on this. Basically, I'm just saying, lazy developers, make me more games with women in it, because it would be fun and very entertaining and very enjoyable. And say, it's the only reason it's a man's world because, I don't know, we can't say really say that women didn't try hard enough. Women have been trying for hundreds of years to be accepted. But, you know, I mean, we look at Jade Raymond from, you know, Ubisoft. She's high up in the ladder for offices and stuff. It's like, yeah, put your... You know, stop jabbing people and, you know, say, yeah, I want to make more games with female characters. Then we do it. Next Assassin's Creed, we have a female lead. Great. I'm not fussed. You know, fuck. You know, women shouldn't be on the sidelines when it comes to this sort of stuff. Or, you know, I mean, I say I'm a person who likes a good old love interest, love story. Doesn't have to be from a male perspective. Can be from a woman's perspective. Doesn't really matter. It's all good for me. But, yeah. That's pretty much it for this topic for this week. I'm going to take a quick break because I need a breather. But I will be back in about 8-9 minutes after these messages. I will speak to you soon.
That combination of and Ashley, you're from England, so we're not really sure what asshole number you would be. We just know it would be at least two extra numbers and one extra dash.
Yeah,
that's all we
sign.
Know for sure. Yeah. It's some sort of country code.
Ladies and gentlemen, we invite you to have a go.
If you'd like to Skype in, it's Antisocial Gamer Radio. All one word.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
MoreLikeRadio.com, the new standard in internet radio.
Now I'm realizing that this is all going to be on fucking podcast. Oh boy!
I told you.
Yeah, I was trying to warn you the whole time.
Dude, I don't care. I'm voluntarily Skyping into you. Use this to make a promo. I don't care. No, dude. Like I said, my fiance doesn't listen. Dutch got drunk one night. Well, he gets drunk every night, but he got drunk one night, and I used it as a promo. Why not? Use this into a promo. I give everyone permission to turn this audio into a promo. I don't care.
He also used Drunk Me for a promo, too, if you remember.
Punch JJ, it. You play it every week.
I do. Folks at home, Radio Gold like this happens every Sunday and Thursday at midnight on 360 on 420, only on MoreLikeRadio.com.
Hey smokers, you stink worse than a dumpster. Stop living in the Middle Ages and try an electronic cigarette today by Smokeless Image. Just go to tinyurl.com/mlrsmoke. They're cheaper than regular cigarettes, don't smell, and come in a variety of flavors like fruit, mint, and traditional tobacco flavors. Order your new electronic cigarettes from Smokeless Image today by going to tinyurl.com/mlrsmoke. That's tinyurl.com/mlrsmoke.
Have you ever wanted something so bad that you do just about anything for it?
Well, that's exactly how we feel about you. That's right. AdamandEve.com wants you so bad. We're giving you 10 free gifts with your first order. You heard me right. That's 10 free gifts to spice up your love life. First, you'll get a sexy surprise for her. Second, an adventurous toy for him. And third, a little something we know you'll both enjoy. Plus, you'll get 6 full-length adult movies on DVD. And number 10, free shipping on your entire order. That's 10 free gifts for you shy types who've never tried Adam and Eve before. Just go to adamandeve.com and select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy, a sexy piece of lingerie, or anything you desire. Just enter offer code DEAL48 at checkout, and you'll get all 10 free gifts, including free shipping. That's offer code DEAL48. That's DEAL48 at adamandeve.com.
If you're sick and tired of getting pro wrestling only after it's gone through the PG filter, then it's time you were introduced to Combat Zone Wrestling. Celebrating 15 years of ultra-violence, Combat Zone Wrestling will give you all the high-stakes, high-flying, and hard-hitting pro wrestling you can handle. Check out their live event schedule, get information on their next iPay-per-view, skim the roster, or shop for CZW merch right now at czwrestling.com. That's czwrestling.com. No dance segments, no endless talk of downloading apps, just wrestling. Combat Zone Wrestling, the ultra-violent underground.
Talk Radio Meltdown.
He just wrote a song, put it on an album. The album came out, went to number one, and a few weeks later, he's like, oh, yeah, by the way, I'm gay, and if you want to know why, listen to this particular track.
Oh,
so everyone did, and they found out. It's like, oh, the song's apparently about how much he wants to fuck a dude. Okay. That's logical.
Well, with the verse like, I want a dick up my ass repeatedly with balls touching my bum.
Is that really the lyric? I'm not familiar with this band.
Talk Radio Meltdown every Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on morelikeradio.com.
What kind of store only has one thing on the shelf? T-Fury does. Now before you complain, listen to how it works. Each day a brand new t-shirt design becomes available for only 24 hours, then it's replaced by a new design the following day. They're all submitted by freelance artists too, so they're completely unique. They come in multiple colors and sizes, and they're all inspired by nerd and geek culture. And for only $11 per shirt, you can't go wrong. Check out today's limited edition design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRTs. Bookmark it and check back daily for new designs at tinyurl.com/MLRTEES.
If you weren't able to catch the last Hippo Juice show, here's what you probably missed.
The credibility that they are using as a bouncer at a Colombian strip club. Credibility.
Oh my God, that's hilarious. Let's say it 3 more times.
Oh, God, to save you, gotta save my soul. Oh, down, bow, down. Wow, diddy, wow, down, wow.
Listen to the Hippo Juice Show live every Wednesday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on morelikeradio.com.
And murder on Sexy Betrayals. Then at 7, some like their murder with a side of sexy biscuits on Southern Fried Homicide. But now, get ready for Lust, Betrayal, and Murder on Hot Load Case Files.
Oh, yeah, 3 of the best shows in a row.
Is the lube over there?
Yeah, I got lube right here.
Well, get over here, big guy.
Yeah. What the hell? Yeah, hi, we aren't getting our informative murder porn? No, none of our channels that have informative murder porn appear to be working. Yeah, the screen just says, how do you tame a horse in Minecraft? Yes, we do have children. A what? A parental lock? Stan, how do you tame a horse in Minecraft?
What?
What is Minecraft and how do you tame a horse in it?
You guys don't need to be watching that stuff.
Oh, come on! You can't block your parents from watching informative murder porn! What, you think if we watch shows about married people killing each other all the time, we're gonna go out and do it? That's stupid! I'm not gonna go out and kill your mom just because I watch Investigative Discovery, Stan. It'd be impossible to clear away all the DNA evidence anyway. Even if I hired someone else to kill her, I'd have to kill that person too, because 96% of the time, that person eventually tells the truth. I've thought this through a lot! Stan, you're a lousy kid! I wish Jaden Smith was my son!
She's buried right in my backyard.
And welcome back, ladies and gents, to the second part of Antisocial Game Radio, live on morelightradio.com. Hope you had a little good break. I went and ate one of the psycho chilies that my family got me. They were very fucking hot. But yes, welcome back to the show. Got a load of new stuff for you. Game talk, as I said, Mass Effect. I have this article here, as long as I click on it properly. There we go. Yeah, BioWare's next generation Mass Effect, this is from CVG, by the way, Mass Effect project is years away from completion, according to the game's producer, Mike Gamble. Gamble suggests that the game was still in relatively early production during a show-and-tell session at San Diego Comic-Con on Saturday. Details from Gamble's panel have spread online via a number of game forums. Websites, social media accounts include NeoGAF, The Escapist, and Nerd Appreciate. One of the key details in is the return of the Mako. The vehicle that featured frequently in the first Mass Effect, though, was dropped for the second and third game in the series. Because basically it was a piece of shit. And, there's nothing we like doing than hunting resources by driving around for hours and hours trying to find these right things to get the ability points and all that sort of stuff. The six-wheeled Mako was used primarily for reconnaissance on distant planet surfaces, though it carried weaponry for self-defense. Because the fourth Mass Effect game was to focus on exploration, Mako is once again a necessary addition. According to... why can't you make something else? There was a fucking hover tank in the second one. Give us the hover tank. The next Mako is a zippier vehicle. Well, I hope so, because it fucking... it was so slow. Basically, that's the end of what I call... I mean, just... It's understandable that the game is years away. The fact that they've been handing out bloody... questionnaires. It's like, what do you want us to see? What do you want to see in the next Mass Effect? They wouldn't be anywhere near completion if they were asking, well, what would you like to see in the game? It's like, no. If it's done, if you know what you're doing with it, then you know what you're doing with it. And the fact that they bring that the fucking Mako, we don't want that. I want the hover tank or whatever it is that we the other vehicle that we got. I can't remember what the fuck it was called. Mass Effect 4. Years away. I've got Destiny. I'm not that fussed, really. Well, I will have Destiny when it comes out. Other stuff I am looking forward to, which has basically been on hiatus for a while, Tekken Cross Street Fighter, says from CVG. Producer Katsuhiro Harada reassures fans the project is still in development, which is great. Tekken Cross Street Fighter hasn't been cancelled, according to the producer. Speaking at the San Diego Comic-Con, 4 years after the game was first announced at the same event, Harada said it's still in the works. Good. Responding to a fan request of an update on the status of the crossover title, Harada said it's still in development and it's moving forward. Well, it was like, good. Because the fact that we're getting... Street Fighter update after Street Fighter update in Super Street Fighter 4, Super Street Fighter 4 Turbo, Super Street Fighter 4 Turbo Championship Edition Infinity. And it's like, yeah, just give me fucking a Tekken game where I can play with Street Fighter characters, because I hate the side-scrolling stuff. I mean, Mortal Kombat, yeah, I'm good at that. I like that. That's fun. But the Street Fighter stuff, it's so bullshitty, fanboy, do a quarter turn, and I was like, nah, fuck off. Just let me play as fucking Martial Law or Yoshimitsu, and let me beat the shit out of Ken and Ryu. That'd be great. That's all I want. So the game's still in the works, which is good news, because I really want to play it. I mean, when they first announced this, I was like, okay, I'm not going to buy the Street Fighter Cross Tekken. I'm going to buy Tekken Cross Street Fighter, because I want that movement, the free roaming, and... I mean, trust, there's no... It shouldn't be harder to do... I mean, they talk about, pulling off the Hadouken and fireballs and stuff. Yeah, you can do that with most of the characters in Tekken anyway. They all have their sort of extreme special moves and stuff like that. But, I don't know. It's going to be good. Where was I? Let's find something else. Okay, trying to find something. Here we go. Yeah, so other stuff talked about at Comic-Con. The Walking Dead Season 3 confirmed. Telltale announces plans for more episodic content at the San Diego Comic-Con on the weekend. Yeah, they're going to make a third season. I mean, I haven't even played Season 2 yet. I mean, I do want to, but I'm going to wait till all the bits are out. I think we're still missing like one more piece. And then basically once it's all out, I will, I will basically pick it up and play through it, because the first one was awesome, and this is, and basically everyone's saying this is really good, so I'll pick it up. But yeah, Telltale is set to make a third season of its episodic The Walking Dead series, which, to be honest, I have no interest in the comics anymore, or the TV series, but I mean, the game is really good. Studio co-founder Kevin Bruner confirmed the news at San Diego Comic-Con over the weekend. Plot details or release windows weren't discussed. But yeah, Telltale released the fourth episode of The Walking Dead Season 2 last week on PC and consoles, as well as iOS. As with the first installment of the game, Season 2 will promise five episodes. I think it's just a... blah, 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 blah. Yeah, so basically, we're getting a Season 3, and which is good, because it sort of, carries over the information that we've getting, or, information that we've done from, from 1 to 2 and now 2 to 3. So basically, you sort of play the games how you want. Yeah, it's going to be good. I mean, I wonder if I can get Season 1 on PlayStation 4. Because, I mean, if I can, I'll pick up Season 1 again and then go through it again and then pick up Season 4 and do that. Season 2 and go through that again. But we'll wait and see, And I'll have to do some checking on that later. What else we got? Let's have a look. A whole load of news stuff. I'm just trying to get to everything as much as possible. Here we go, yeah. Because there's some other movie stuff that I've got to talk about. The Last of Us movie has been confirmed to be being made. It doesn't need it. It really doesn't, because the game is like a movie anyway. But yeah, here's some CVG. The Last of Us movie may star Arya Stark, the actress, Maisie Williams, a frontrunner for Ellie, Sam Raimi says, because fucking Sam Raimi will produce The Last of Us movie, and Game of Thrones actress Maisie Williams may co-star as Ellie. Screen Gems revealed at Comic-Con panel on Friday. Raimi, who produced the original Spider-Man trilogy, girl, we hate all them, and the Evil Dead series, made the announcement in a surprise appearance at San Diego Comic-Con panel dedicated to the film on Friday. But yeah, Sony Pictures Entertainment revealed a teaser image for the film after a panel showing a character who resembles Ellie holding a switchblade. It's going to be a real character journey, a great love story, and a great horror fiction. Why have you got Sam Raimi doing this stuff? I mean, trust, the film's going to be shit, and you've got Sam Raimi helping it along. It's just, nah. Sam Raimi needs to fuck off back to the 80s. Useless cunt. But yeah, Maisie Williams, who plays Arya Stark in the HBO's Game of Thrones, was teased as the current favourite to play Ellie, though no casting decisions were confirmed at the panel. Naughty Dog creative director Neil Druckmann also appeared at the panel. He reportedly has the final say on most of the film's major creative decisions, including casting and choice of director. So good. As long as fucking Raimi's not directing this, we're good. But I mean, he's producing, so some money's going to come from him and some ideas. But hopefully Neil reins this guy in, or just pull out a chainsaw and chop his hand off. That's what I say to do with Sam Raimi. Druckmann said in May that the film will be a direct adaptation of the video game rather than be inspired by its post-apocalyptic tale. That's cool, I guess. As far as where we go and how we make it in the film, how it takes into account of the unique properties of the film, we're not sure yet. We're only just scratching the surface. Well, that's nice. While you're scratching the surface, can we have a Last of Us 2, please? Or something set in that universe, because it was a really good... I mean, I do want to pick the new game up, the game up again, the new remastered version. But I was like, I want more from the world. I mean, I know what happens. And it's like, yeah, I'm ready to feel that again, what I felt, the emotions that I first played this. But I'm like, I want more from the game. I want, want to see different people, how they coexist in the world, what's going on, and because it basically happens so quick. Here we go. Yeah. Anyway, that's what I was talking about. Yeah, movie stuff. Yeah, because we've got like a trailer, not a trailer, we got like some images from the new Hitman movie. It looks okay. A lot of people are down on it. But it turns out from people I've been talking to that the first Hitman movie with Timothy Olyphant, people actually liked. I mean, I loved it. I thought it was great. I do want to pick it up on Blu-ray when I get a chance. But yeah, the new film's coming out soon-ish, I hope. I look forward to a trailer anyway. But it's going to be played by, Agent 47 is going to be played by Rupert Friend, who I'm not too sure who that is, but I'll have to look him up. But yeah, here we go. This is also from CG, the Uncharted film, scheduled for June 2016. Yes. Sorry, scroll down this page. There we go. Yeah, taking the place of an amazing... no, doesn't matter. The Uncharted film is now slated to hit theatres on June 10th, 2016, according to reports from Sony Pictures Entertainment. The video game adaptation by Sony Pictures will take place... will take the place of Amazing Spider-Man 3, according to a Hollywood reporter. The latest Spider-Man film has been pushed back by 2 years for further development and to make room for the Sinister Six film, which will release in November 2016. Yeah, why they just stop with the Spider-Man? Because the last one was shit, and this guy's a crap actor. Seth Gordon is confirmed as the director for the Uncharted film, which will reportedly take the most interesting stuff from the first game and build from there. Filming will begin early next year. Here we go. Gordon, who previously directed The King of Kong. What the fuck was The King of Kong? He did Horrible Bosses and Identity Thief. One of those films I know. It's the third director's... it's the third director attached to the adaptation. Mark Wahlberg was originally slated to play Nathan Drake in the film, but Gordon confirmed that Wahlberg is no longer a part of the production and is looking for a new lead. Thank fuck for that, because Mark Wahlberg is a shitty actor. He says, I want it to be a great actor. Good, because Mark Wahlberg is a shitty actor. That's number one. And then it's if it's someone who has an actual jaw, that's even better. Yeah. The game is so well done, you don't need to live up to that. There's no way we'd do the inverse of where it's something, it's somebody famous who can't act, like Mark Wahlberg. I'm not too sure who they could get to play Nathan Drake. I mean, to be honest, I know Nolan North is pretty much Nathan Drake anyway, even when he's not Nathan Drake in the games that he's voicing. But I don't know. I mean, I'm looking forward to seeing where they go and who they get for cast, like for casting. But I mean, you know, we've got like The Last of Us movie. I mean, I'd love to see Josh Brolin play Joel. That'd be great. He looks like him as well. If you chuck a beard on fucking Josh Brolin, he looks really close to, you know, to being Joel. But yeah, I mean, it could be good, I guess. Maybe. I don't know. We'll wait and see. But here we are. Yeah, sort of movie tie-in stuff, possibly, from what this article's about. Star Wars Battlefront release dates, preferably close to Episode 7. Both originally expected summer 2015, now due next Christmas. EA has said it would prefer to release DICE's new Star Wars Battlefront game closer to the launch of Star Wars Episode 7. Scroll down. Yeah, last July, the publisher's CFO, Blake Jorgensen, said the Star Wars Battlefront reboot would most likely come out around the same time as the Star Wars movies start to come out, probably in the summer of 2015. While J.J. Abrams' forthcoming movie was originally expected to launch next summer, probably in May, Disney has since confirmed a theatrical release of December 18th, 2015. During EA's third quarter earnings call on Tuesday, the company was asked if the game was game and movie release date are tied together and how Battlefront's launch could be affected by the film's schedule. EA's schedule's gone up because of Harrison Ford injured himself. EA Studios Executive Vice President Patrick Sutherland said via Seeking Alpha, no idea what that is, but sounds like a Pokemon. As it releases as it relates to Star Wars, we've shown parts from the game today, so you know what we're building is more rooted in the traditional Star Wars universe and not so much necessarily linked to the movies being made. Yeah, because there's so much lore now. They've actually sort of discredited it all, basically, by saying it's not canon, even though it fucking should be. I mean, I've been reading 40 years of Star Wars history in books and novels for the past 20 years. It's like, yeah, now you're just basically saying it all means it's all gone to shit. But yeah, I mean, they're saying that, yeah, they're not focused on the movies, they're focused on more about what's been happening, which is good because there's tons of lore for you to take information on and say, we've got, you know, over 20, you know, as I said, 40 years of lore, you know, if you go from basically after Endor to where we are now in the books, since when, you know, was it Return of the Jedi came out, and then you got to go all that way back before, you know, yeah, there's so much lore out there. But yeah, but it's nice that there's sort of, you know, the same, what's I saying here? Yeah, and it's just because we wanted to make a game that celebrates the history of, yeah, they're focused on the actual history of Star Wars, not just the movies, which, you know, the first one was okay, second one was the best one, third one was okay, but it was, you know, people say it's always a Jim Henson production, but you know, the Ewoks were cute and cuddly, you know. Obviously, there will be things in there that's somewhat tied to the new movie. I wouldn't say that we have a particular tie to the movie. Probably this new X-Wing that we've been shown, probably. Obviously, we prefer to be close to the movie, but I wouldn't say that we're directly tied to it, which you shouldn't be, to be honest. Because when we get Star Wars Battlefront 2, that will be probably at the end of the second movie and whatever spin-offs that we're getting for the current thing, whatever that's going to be. But yeah, I mean, it's good. I'm looking forward to playing Star Wars Battlefront. It's going to be a really good game. Here we go. No, I'll skip that one. That's not really... Yeah, not really for me, to be honest. Let's have a look at something else. Where was that one? We'll do some Batman news, because I'm looking forward to the new Batman game, as pretty much everyone should be. Batman Arkham Knight Red Hood DLC confirmed. Currently a North American GameStop pre-order exclusive. The previously rumoured Batman Arkham Knight Red Hood DLC has been confirmed as a GameStop pre-order bonus in North America. Play as the ruthless villain in the exclusive story pack, reads a promo image. Also advertising previously confirmed Harley Quinn DLC, which is available at multiple retailers. Yeah, here we go. PlayStation exclusive Arkham Knight Scarecrow Nightmare Pack has also been confirmed by Sony. Tear through the city in an all-new Batmobile and face off against a towering vision of Scarecrow and his undead army as they spread terror on the streets, reads a content description. Yeah, the PC, PlayStation 4, Xbox One version was originally set later this year, but in June, publishers delayed the games to 2015, so we're going to get it next year. But yeah, we were getting some DLC, which, to be honest, they'll probably, you know, put this out exclusively or... you know, for certain bits and pieces, but no doubt, so a few weeks afterwards, it'll be all up on the old Xbox Live store and the PlayStation store. It's like, yep, buy this DLC for so much and, you know, give us all your money. But I mean, the chance, they're both story packs, so we're going to want to play as much story as, considering this is the last game that we're getting from Rocksteady, they're going to want to cram as much story into the game and just, you know, sell this shit, basically. But the Red Hood stuff looks pretty cool. You know, I've got no problem with Jason Todd. The Harley Quinn stuff can be interesting because I never actually bothered playing the DLC for... what the hell was it? Arkham City. But I don't know. We'll see how this goes, really, to be honest. What else we got? Let's have a look. Here we go. Yeah, I've been talking about the story for a while now, about Crytek. I've got some new information. Crytek says it has secured finances for publishing transition. The flow of information to employees has not been as good as it should be. As good as it should have. Crytek has addressed its financial situation after reports of employees missing their paychecks and departing en masse. The company behind Crysis and the CryEngine clarified in a statement to Games Industry International that it is in a transitional phase from development studio to an online publisher, which has required us to refocus our strategies. These challenges all go along with an increased demand for capital, which we have secured. Crytek has remained silently on the issues up until now, though it did deny claims that it is on the verge of bankruptcy. But to be honest, I was watching an episode of the A-Team. Was it A-Team? Oh, fuck, I was watching something, and it was basically one of the companies was trying to sort of basically dissolve itself, make it look bad, just so I can sell it off. And pretty much sounds like we're trying to do with this, to be honest, if I'm reading between the lines correctly. Internally, we have acknowledged the flow of information to employees has not been as good as it should have. However, we hope you understand that communicating details of our plans publicly has not always been possible, the representative noted. Crytek has been in the spotlight for recent months as widespread reports told of critical financial woes at the studio. But yeah, the whole developers leaving and people not turning up for work and, you know, just basic stuff I've been saying on the past few shows. But yeah, I mean, here we go. I've got some stuff here that sort of ties into it a little bit. Crysis 3 Rise producer Mike Reed no longer at Crytek. Staff departures continue at Troubled Developer. This is more stuff from, you know, what's been going on. Crysis 3, yeah, Mike Reed appears to have departed from Crytek amidst widespread news of financial woes at the developer. While no official announcement has been made, Reed's Twitter profile describes him as former producer at the studio, while his LinkedIn profile also lists his tenure at Crytek as having ended in July after 2 months and four, 2 years and 4 months. Crytek has been in the spotlight in recent months because, yeah, blah, 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 I just read that shit. According to reports, pretty much that's all they have on this article. It's basically he's left. Yeah, so basically he's going somewhere else, but just everyone's fucking leaving. So it's not really a worry, but hopefully, you know, all thoughts are with them and they land on their feet. Here we go, yeah. More stuff. Dragon Age. Something has been delayed as well. We talked about Batman earlier. It's been delayed. Dragon Age Inquisition, delayed to November. So it's going to be a very busy month for us gamers in November. I think how much money I'm going to have to spend on games. I don't literally running out of bloody money. Yeah, BioWare's fantasy RPG pushed back for further development, which is good because, I mean, I've seen and posted loads of videos on the old Facebook page. And this game looks amazing. We're all going to play it together. It's going to be great fun. But Dragon Age Inquisition release date has been delayed by more than a month. EA announced today, this was last week. The third title in the RPG series is now planned for release on November 18th in North America and November 21st in Europe. Since we began working on Dragon Age almost 4 years ago, our goal was to create the best Dragon Age experience ever, executive producer Mark Dara said in an official update. It was the goal of that motivated many of our decisions, moving to Frostbite, bringing race choice and customization back, improving tactical camera, building a team of characters whose relationships evolve based on your actions, and most importantly, creating an epic nation-spanning story that both draws upon past games and takes you to many new places in the realm of Thedas. Which is good. I mean, it's got me excited. It really has. The game's original release date of October 7th in North America and October 10th in Europe was announced in April. Dara said the delay will let BioWare polish the experience we want you to see. Yeah, so basically it's not ready yet. I need to put more work into it. And I say that's great. I don't mind. Just make sure you do it right the first time and, you know when it's going to be ready, basically. But so I have a problem with whole, you know, setting deadlines and, you know, sort of doing stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to playing Dragon Age when it comes out. But yeah, I mean, here we go. Yeah, the announcement was made alongside a similar announcement for Battlefield Hardline, which has pushed back, has been pushed into early 2015. Recent video games walkthroughs of the Redcliff Castle and the Hinterlands show the game's blending of storytelling, combat, and exploration. Inquisition casts players as the Inquisitor, leader of a force dedicated to finding and destroying the source of the Faedriffs, which threaten to consume the world. Yeah, so basically it's coming to PC, PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, Xbox 360, and Xbox One. And it's going to be a really good game. I mean, I've been watching these videos like non-stop, and I can't wait for this game. It's going to be really amazing. Let's find something else. What else have we got? Here we go. Here we go. I talked about this a little while ago as well. The Halo composer. Halo composer wins legal battle against Bungie. Studio required to pay over $95,000 as part of a settlement. Former Bungie composer Marty O'Donnell will receive $95,000 after settling a lawsuit with the studio's chief executive, Harold Ryan. Seattle King County Court Judge Jeffrey Ramsdell approved the settlement, which stems from a lawsuit filed by O'Donnell on May 1st. O'Donnell, who worked on each Halo title up until Halo Reach, also composed music and managed audio for the forthcoming shooter Destiny, was terminated from Bungie by the studio's board of directors in April. The composer announced on exit on Twitter, saying it was without cause. However, Bungie claimed in a short statement that O'Donnell parted ways with the studio on good terms. For more than a decade, Marty O'Donnell filled our worlds with unforgettable sounds and soundtracks and left an indelible mark on our fans. Today, as friends, we say goodbye. This was from what Bungie said. Despite initially denying that O'Donnell was due... remuneration. There we go. Bungie is now required to pay over $38,000 in unpaid work and vacation time, in addition to double damages, according to accounting, amounted to another $38,000. According to accounting attorney's fees and interest, the total payable reaches over $95,000. O'Donnell is an award-winning composer with a history in both film and video games. His first game project was publishing the score to Riven, a sequel to Myst, which I know of that one. His earliest collaboration with Bungie was in 1997 with the title Myst: The Fallen Lords. But it still didn't fully say... thanks, Mitch. I know I stumble over my words. I was hoping to find some sort of closure on this. I was like, yes, it's nice that he's gotten money, but it was never said what was wrong with him. Why, you know, they wanted to get rid of him in the first place? Because that's what I wanted to know. I mean, I didn't really give a shit. I mean, the guy's an amazing composer. I mean, you know. I mean, I'm not a fan of Halo, but the music was amazing. Destiny, the music's amazing in that. Of course I'm not Kevin. I'm on my own fucking talking to myself. This is by that means nobody likes. I know that. That's why I'm looking forward to the roast that's going to happen next Friday. Hear what everyone says about me. But yeah. I know, Mitch. I love you too, mate. But no, I mean, there was nothing said. It was like, why did you fire this guy? And basically, he was fired by the board of directors. That's some top heavy shit. It's like, what did he do to get fired? I mean, I don't know. Did they just not wanted to have his name tied to this? I mean, the guy's an award-winning director, composer. Sorry. I'd love to know what was going on through the directors, why they did this. But, I mean, he's got some money, which is kind of low, to be honest. $95,000, you know, $100,000. It's... I guess it's okay. I mean, just... I don't know. Maybe I'm just sort of... I've seen so much from sports. It's like all these people getting money up the arse for doing fuck all. Whereas this guy is actually talented and made great music. I don't know. But, yeah, I'm glad for him. I'm glad for his win. You know, it's good, to be honest. It's nice that he's actually got something after this, you know, shitty treatment he got. I'll try and find him on Twitter and I'll say well done to him for getting this money. But you know, what else we got? Let's try and find some other stuff. Let's have a look at what I've got up here. Here we go. Yeah, Let's talk about some Halo. As I've just talked about, Marty O'Donnell, this is some Games Radar. Halo Nightfall is the origin story of Halo 5's next big Spartan. We've got sort of footage. I don't know, it's not footage, it's like screenshots, rather. Hang on, I'll chuck this in the chat. That way, all the people listening in the chat, which basically means Mitch, can have a look at this. Looking forward to looking at these images. I'm sort of, people who know me know I'm a bit of a, I know that actor from that person, and I'm sort of like seeing this picture of this woman who looks like she was in one of the episodes of Doctor Who. I think it could be her, probably not. It could be, possibly. Where's the article gone? Fucking thing. Yeah, basically, there's new stuff coming out on this. Here we go, yeah. Sorry, just ruined this. At San Diego Comic-Con, Microsoft showed the first footage of Halo Nightfall, the original Xbox programming that was announced back in 2013 during the Xbox One's reveal event. But this Xbox-only live-action series... Xbox-only... Yeah, it's going to be up on fucking YouTube and all the different websites where I watch my stuff on in about 20 seconds when it comes out. Isn't just some spin-off. Lead character Jameson Locke will appear in Halo 5 as the mysterious co-lead Spartan, and Nightfall will serve as his origin story. The five-episode series will take viewers to a colony that has been abandoned in the previous Halo Wars. A fragment of one of the Halos has crashed, landed there, and Locke and his team of Marines are sent to investigate. In the brief footage shown, the characters explore the lands of natural landscapes you find on Halos, all filmed in natural settings of Iceland and Northern Ireland. Though we don't know much about what exactly will happen in the series, the creators see it as an epic origin story for Locke that eventually leads him to entering the Spartan armor and becoming the character seen next to Halo, the Master Chief in the early art for Halo 5 Guardians. So it's going to be good, I guess. I mean, I'm interested. I'm interested in this. I mean, I've got to watch it because I mean, I watched the Halo. That was it. Downfall. No, Forward Unto Dawn. There we go. I watched that. I mean, only because it was. Anna Popplewell, who was in the Narnia movies. She's quite cute, so I sort of gave that a watch. It's going to be good, I guess. For Halo fans, they're going to cream their pants over this. I guess, hopefully. But what we got here is I'm running out of time, as I usually am, so I'm talking too much. Microsoft partners with China, this is from CVG, to sell Xbox One. Systems will also be offered to general public at retail. Microsoft has partnered with China's third largest telecommunications company to sell Xbox One. China has more than one, isn't it just run by the government? Reuters reports that China's telecom corp's 30 million customers will be able, able to purchase a system through an exclusive contract with the company. Xbox One systems will also be available for purchase at retail by the general public. See, that's how you sell your Xbox One. So you don't fucking sell them to Japan because Japan hates America. You sell them to China because China hates Japan. In April, Microsoft announced plans to release the console to Chinese consumers in September, thanks to a manufacturing partnership with Chinese company BezTV. The price of the system has not yet been decided, according to China's telecom, but more details about the Chinese launch will release next week. So I'll have some news for you then, hopefully. For any listeners we have in China, that'd be nice. Xbox One will be the first foreign game console to be sold in China since the nation lifted a 14-year ban in January. However, Chinese partnerships with companies like Nintendo and great market dealers have offered consoles for sale in the country since then. The Shanghai government has published a content guidelines for console gamers that will need to be adhered to for products to be approved for Chinese release. The Xbox One will launch in another 26 markets in September 2014. The company the console was originally due to launch in 21 markets in November 2013, but was delayed in 8. So basically, everyone should be able to have access to a Xbox, PlayStation, pretty much soon, to be honest. What else have we got? So I'm running out of time, as I've said. Let's try to find a couple more articles to get to. What have I talked about yet? Here we go. I don't like this guy, but I'll talk about him. From CVG as well. Blazinski's boss hires former Epic, Irrational, and Neversoft staff. New development studio confirms it hires its first hires. Cliff Blazinski's boss, Key Productions, is officially operational and has confirmed its first round of employees. The Rally, North Carolina-based developer has picked up a number of senior staff with a history at major studios, including Epic Games, Red Storm, Neversoft Entertainment, and Irrational Games. Chris Milkey of Ghost Recon Future Soldier, Far Cry 4, and Division will fill the role of senior producer. Chris Wells, who did the Gears of War trilogy and Fortnite, is the new senior character artist. Nice. While fellow... so basically, whatever game they're going to make, it's going to have giant muscles like he's on fucking steroids. While former Epic Games man Josh Parker is Boss Key's new senior gameplay programmer. Shane Smith from Grand Theft Auto 5 and Bioshock Infinite is the IT director. David Rose, Guitar Hero 5 and 6 and Call of Duty Ghost is the so-called UI ninja. Ryan Pazer is going to be from Call of Duty, is the senior animator. James Hawkins is the concept artist who did Gears of War and Unreal. So more muscly people. Sarah Ashby, Gears of War trilogy. It's a whole fucking shitload from Epic, more than pretty much anyone else, to be honest. The key to building a successful company is to be surrounding yourself with quality people, especially the ones who can do things you can't, said basically co-founder and CEO Cliff Blazinski in a prepared statement. But yeah, he had to be prepared because he would have put chainsaw in the fucking article. Arjun Bruzi and I are very excited to continue working with some of the people who have inspired us and helped us create great work in the past, as well as to hire fresh blood and bring new perspective and talents to the table. We're still reading through hundreds of resumes to find the best of the best to join us, and expect us to have more announcements soon. Guerrilla Games co-founder Arjun Bruzi joined Boss Key as its chief operating officer. Bruzi and Blazinski, wow, Jesus Christ, their names are hard to say, collaborated on the Jazz Jackrabbit platform series. The first project from Blazinski's new studio will be a free-to-play PC shooter codenamed Blue Streak. So we'll have some sort of news for that probably sometime next year, maybe. Boss Key Productions plans to partner with Korean online games publisher Nexon to create the title Blazinski announced in on July 8th. So basically, I mean, his studio's coming together, which is a good thing. Mitch is reading the chat. Mitch says, how neutral are the games going to have to be to be allowed, though? Oh, yeah, for China. I don't know. Because you've got, with Australia, you've got, I mean, they had problems with like games like Saints Row because of the violence and stuff. Even though Australia's where we sent all the fucking prisoners and they're worried about violence. But I'd say they'd probably say a lot more. I mean, I wouldn't even bother. I mean, the Chinese market is very strong because you've got about a fucking billion people there. But you've got to think about, you know, how crazy the North Koreans are. And then you think about, you know, how similar probably China is, but less so. They were going to, you know, they probably want some, you know, some sort of communist undertones in their games or something like that. I mean, it's probably going to be really stupid and really crazy, but it shouldn't be too bad, to be honest. It's, you know, I mean, if you look at, say, with Germany, any sort of World War II game or something like that, you've got to take the Nazi flags out because they have a sticky conscience. But I don't think it should be too bad. I mean, I hope it's not going to be too bad. I mean, there's no reason why, you know, China shouldn't get the same games that we get. You know, but I mean, that's the thing. A lot of games get edited and stuff gets taken out. I mean, you go back in the day, I mean, say like, I think it was Final Fantasy 10 and I think 8 had like international releases that were different to the main region, the main version that came out in Japan. But it depends on what they find excessive or they don't want their people to play. Because you've got to think, I said it's like the third largest thing in company in China. It's like, well, it's all pretty much under the same umbrella, to be honest. But I mean, we'll wait and see. I mean, as soon as the stuff starts coming out there, we're going to start getting some more stories, and I'm going to enjoy reading them because it's pretty much a sort of non-stop what's going to happen with China, basically, and how they are mad with the controls on what games are played and how the game plays out. And, you know, as long as they're not as bad as fucking Australia, you're fine. But yeah, we'll wait and see. But yeah, this pretty much wraps up the show for this week. But don't forget, in 2 weeks' time, we have the More Like Radio live event. Get yourself down there. Scroll up the page. Just Jake's, Montclair, New Jersey, from 1 to 4. I will be there, so you should be there as well. But yeah, don't forget, if you can't get there, donate. tinyurl.com/autodonation. Please donate as much money as you can. Don't forget, talkradiomeltdown.com, donation. Donate to them so they can get to the Rock and Shock. I've donated some money already, so you should as well. I've no idea what topic for next week is. If you do want to contact me and have a topic idea, you can do it in several ways. antisocialgamerradio@yahoo.co.uk is the email address for the show. facebook.com/group/MLRGamerLobby is the group on Facebook. Get yourself in that as well. And also, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/antisocialgamerradio. I'd appreciate as many likes as you can. I mean, there's loads of you listening, so there's no excuse for all of you. And also, you can follow us on Twitter, and I'll follow you back. It's at MLR Gamer Radio. That's pretty much it for this week. But yeah, also, as I said, iTunes reviews. Love to have more of them. 5 stars, please. And if you have left a review, let me know via the methods I just told you. And get as many people you know to download it. To download the shows on the station, go to morelightradio.org for some of the older shows. Morelightradio.com, see all the times, schedules, how to contact with all the shows. But yeah, iTunes reviews, we'd love to have as many iTunes reviews as possible. But yeah, let me know that you've left one and I'll read your name out on the show. No idea what topic for next week is. Might just talk about my excitement for the live event, because literally my bag is pretty much packed. Don't forget, coming up after me will be Alcohol by Volume with the drunken bastard Kevin. Then after that, we have Johnny doing... I'm not too sure what his show's called now. I did like his Facebook page, but it's some sort of legal bullshit, and he has to change his name, but his show will be up afterwards. And then you have Dutch and Royce finishing out the night. It's pretty much a good week for... it's a good night for shows on Moral Radio tonight, tomorrow, pretty much any day that ends in a Y is a good night for listening to shows on Moral Radio. And you should, basically. Tell your friends, tell your enemies, tell everyone. And I will see you again next Tuesday with some more gaming stuff. I will be playing some new stuff, playing some old stuff, and just playing stuff. I'll see you lot next week, people. Take care. Bye.
Ashley brought anything to the table?
Oh my god, yeah, what a sure. Bag of burden that British piece of shit was. Holy
a
shit.
A woman can pilot.
From everyone here at BBC Radio 4, this is Alice Arnold, hoping that you sleep well and wishing you a very good night. Good night.
The area forecast for the next 24 hours. Viking north at Sierra, south at Sierra, south or southwest, or northwest, or northeast or east. Occasional rain, wintry showers, occasional rain or showers, occasional rain, moderate or poor, becoming moderate.